بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما وفقها في الدين، اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to all of you. أهلا وسهلا. You all did very good. May Allah accept from you. May Allah grant you all paradise for coming to the halaqah of knowledge, inshaAllah ta'ala. Today we are continuing in the chapter on the fiqh of tahara, or the fiqh of purification. And we started a new bab, or a new chapter called Bab Qada al-Haja, or Adab Qada al-Haja. The chapter on the manners relating to using the restroom. So we began talking last time about the manners related to using the restroom and the first hadith. Before I begin, just as a background, that this chapter on the adab, or the manners of how to use the restroom and what to say and what to do in the restroom, it shows us the beauty of Islam and the comprehensive nature of Islam, that it left no matter except that it brought guidance for us on how to purify ourselves, how to make ourselves obedient to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is actually one of the perfection of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that it even talks about such subtle matters as how to take care of the restroom. And we began last time, we spoke about the importance of keeping the name of Allah and the dhikr of Allah away from the restroom. And it's not from the adab to bring the name of Allah, either written or to say it in the place where one uses the restroom. Inshallah, today we're going to cover another hadith which is related to what to say before entering the bathroom, inshallah ta'ala. So let me begin by reading the Arabic of the hadith in the translation, and then we'll talk about the meaning together, inshallah. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل الخلاء قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث أخرجه السبعة. أنس بن مالك, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon entering the restroom, used to say اللهم, O Allah, إني أعوذ بك, I seek refuge in you, من الخبث والخبائث. Another narration has it, خُبُوثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ, I seek refuge in you from the male and female devils, or the offensive and wicked things. This hadith, it is talking about when entering the bathroom, what to say. And the خُبُث that is mentioned in the hadith that we seek refuge in Allah from, خُبُث in Arabic, it means all impure and dirty things. And خُبُثِ, it means the things that are the evil jinns, the things that are spiritual, the jinns and the evil beings. خُبُثِ is the physical things. So both ahadith are narrated. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the خُبُث, which are the physical impurities, and also الخُبُث, which means the evil jinns from the male and the female. So this is what we say before entering the bathroom. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Not when after entering the bathroom, but before entering into the bathroom. And what the scholars, they say, is that Allahumma, what it means is Ya Allah. That the meme that's at the word of the word, at the end of the word Allah, Allahumma, it's in place of the word Ya in the beginning. So whenever we say Allahumma, it means the same as Ya Allah. It means calling out to Allah. Allahumma, here it means, Oh Allah, we're seeking Allah's protection. We're seeking Allah's help. And the reason why we do that, why we seek Allah's protection, is that the evil of the jinn, we can only be protected from their evil by Allah's help. And Shaykh Amin al-Shinqiti, he says that in the Qur'an there's a verse that tells us how to be saved from all evil. The evil of human beings and the evil of the jinn. What is that verse? He says, the verse is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ, The good and the evil are not the same. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Repel evil with goodness. Repel evil with goodness. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. If you do that, then the one between you and him is enmity, will become your close friend. So Shaykh Amin al-Shinqiti, he says, this verse, it teaches us how to be saved from all the evil of other people, the shayateen of human beings. How do we get saved from their evil? By responding to their harshness with goodness, with kindness. Because if they have enmity and harm towards us, if we respond to them with kindness, then it will change them to our good friend. They will become our good and close friend. And it's said that Shakespeare, you might have heard of, he used to write in a lot of his poems and in a lot of his stories, he would praise his enemies, and he would flatter them and say good things about them. So they asked him, they said, why do you say these things, that to praise your enemies? Is that because you're weak? He said, no. He said, isn't it true that by praising them, they're not going to harm me? They're not going to have enmity towards me? And he said, yeah, that's true. So he said, by saying these words, I save myself from their harm and their evil. So that was one of the wisdoms that he used in his poetry. So likewise, as a Muslim, what Allah says is the good from you and the evil from your enemy are not the same. If we repel goodness, we repel their evil with goodness, then the one who is your enemy will become your close friend. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Repel with the goodness. When the person comes to you with enmity, expecting you're going to respond in enmity. But if you respond with the kindness, with the goodness, then he'll change and become your best friend. He won't. The goodness that you do is much greater than any enmity or evil that he has in his heart.
On that car, that lights are on, so that he may get that the red car. The lights are on.
Anybody have booster cables? Okay, you can leave it. Inshallah, after the dars, we'll give you a boost. Inshallah. Inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, repel evil with goodness. That's how we save ourselves from the harm of the people, from human beings, the shayateen amongst people. And then the next verse, immediately after it, it tells us how to save ourselves from the jinn. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after talking about how to save ourselves from the evil human beings and their enmity, repel with goodness, that will save us from their harm, praise them, flatter them, so that they don't bother us and harm us. Then he turns and he begins to speak about the jinn. If the shaytan, they touch you, إِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ, then what do? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Then seek refuge in Allah. Because the jinn are not like human beings. If somebody praises the jinn, it will not make him become your friend. The jinn, they are, Allah, He is the only one who can save us from the jinn. Allah knows them, He has power over them, and He knows how they operate, and He knows their state. So when we have effect from the jinn, or they whisper to us, the only refuge is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, give us refuge from these jinn. Save us from their whispers. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in you, and we remember him and we turn to him. If we do that, then the whispers of the shaitan and the jinn will not harm us. So this is how to save ourselves from all evil in life. This is a very beautiful these two ayahs. If somebody has evil, we respond with goodness. And if the shaitan affects us, we seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan ar-rajim. We can never flee from the tricks and traps of the shaitan on our own. We will never be able to do it, but we seek Allah's refuge from that. Now the jinn, this hadith is talking about seeking refuge from the male and female jinn. So what does it tell us about jinn? Are they male and female? Of course, right? It's mentioned in the hadith. Do they get married? The scholars, they say jinn, they are male and female, they get married, they have children, they procreate, they are amongst us, but we do not see them. إِنَّهُ يُرَاكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ كُوَ وَصَبِيلُهُ إِنَّهُمْ يُرَاكُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تُرَوْنَهُمْ. The jinn, we cannot see them, but they watch us. They see us. They're created out of fire. And this hadith is talking, or it's mentioning that the jinn, they are in the bathrooms. They like to. The evil jinn, the rebellious jinn, they are in the bathrooms, and this is why we're seeking refuge from them. The shayateen and the evil jinn, they love the places of impurity, and they stay there in those places. The jinn that are not rebellious, they will stay in other places. They will not go into the restroom, but they'll stay in other places. In some hadith it says they're in the wells, or they stay in empty houses. But only the evil and rebellious jinn, they enter into the bathroom. And the scholars, they mention many hadith about the proof that the jinn really exists. Once there was a man, this was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he was going out for a battle, and they said to him, go and get your weapons from your house. So he went home, and he saw his wife waiting by the door. She wasn't even wearing the veil. He said, why are you out here? He was very upset. And she said, go inside the house and look on your bed. And when that sahabi went inside the house, there was a huge snake on his bed. So he took his spear and he killed it. And so his wife, she said, I don't know who died first, my husband or that snake. As soon as he stabbed the snake, he fell down on the ground dead. And so the news of this reached the Prophet ﷺ. This sahabi, he went home, he stabbed the snake and he died immediately. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that that was a jinn. That snake was a jinn. He killed one of the jinns, and the companions of that jinn took revenge and killed him. So if any of you see a snake, then he should say to it three times, go out in the name of Allah. And if he still sees him after that, then he may kill him. And so the ulama, they say that the jinns, they take refuge in the homes, especially in Medina. And so a person, this is one of the hadith that prove the existence of the jinn. There are other shuyukh, they had mentioned stories about it. One shaykh, his name is Ibn Salih from Medina, he said that he was around Duha time, a group of jinn came to him, and he said, they didn't say salam, or they just entered into his house, and he said, what are you doing here? They said, we came to Medina to learn fiqh from you, and we sit in your classes, but we didn't take permission, we want your permission. He said, it's fine, you can study with me, as long as you don't show yourself to the other people, they might get scared of you. They might be afraid to see you, and you might harm them, or they might harm you. So we see these narrations in amongst many of the ulama about jinn. So the jinn, they love the places of filth. The evil jinn, they love the places of filth. And along with the evil jinn are the people who use the evil jinn. So the people who do magic, they do sihr, they also like the places of filth. And the Muslim, he doesn't enter those places except out of necessity. We only go in those places just to take care of the need, to answer the call of nature, and then we leave right away. But the evil people, the magicians, they use those places. They can only do their magic in those type of filthy places, not in a place that's pure. So this is what we learn from this hadith, that a person, when he enters the bathroom, he should say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'i. Khubuth, again, it means the male jinn, and khaba'ith is the female jinn. That is the important lesson from this hadith. InshaAllah. Any questions about that hadith before we move on? Okay, we'll go to the next hadith, and then if you think of any questions in the end, you're welcome to ask, inshaAllah. Okay, the next hadith, also by Anas ibn Malik. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل الخلاء فأحمل أنا وغلام نحوي أداوة من ماء وعنزة فيستنجي بالماء. متفق عليه. This hadith was also narrated by Anas ibn Malik, who was a young servant of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, whenever the Messenger of Allah went to the bathroom, I and a small boy, we used to follow him and bring a water skin and a spear, and he would cleanse with the water. This hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he went to use the bathroom, who used to follow him? Anasa bin Malik and another boy, and they would carry some water and a spear. And then the Prophet ﷺ would use the water. So this hadith, it mentions the water and the spear. Now the question is, what was the use of the spear? Why did he need to have a spear when he went to use the restroom? In fact, the spear has many, many uses. The scholars say that the person, when they use the restroom, they might need to lean on the spear. In case it's very hard on their back, they can use the spear for that. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, his habit is he would put his outer garment on the spear so that it would be a veil between him and people, so nobody would look at it, because that was in the outdoor areas. So it would be like a veil between him. Also, they say that the spear can be used if a person was in a place where it's hard ground. They would scratch up the ground and make it soft. So when urinating on the ground, it would soak up into the dirt and it wouldn't bounce off and get on the legs and on the clothes. So you could also use the spear to dig on the ground, and so that it would absorb the urine and it wouldn't get on the clothing. Because as you know, the urine, if it splashes back, then it is an impurity that has to be removed. You cannot pray with urine if it splashes on the clothing. If it was a soft ground like pebbles, then there was not a need to use that spear. The spear had many, many uses. The Prophet ﷺ, he had his own spear, as did Musa alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. He said, I use my spear to knock down the fruit from my animals, and I have many, many other uses. The Prophet ﷺ, he had his own personal spear that he kept with him his whole life. And then when he died, Abu Bakr had it, and then after him, Umar. And I'll just tell you the story of the spear of the Prophet ﷺ. It's very interesting. It was in the battle of Badr, when Zubayr, he was with the Muslims, and there was a mushrik person whose name was Abu Dhat al-Qabash. Abu Dhat al-Qabash. He was the father of a girl who used to carry all the time, she used to carry a goat with her. So he became known as the father of the girl with the goat. This person was a mushrik, and he was wearing full armor in the Battle of Badr. The only thing that was exposed, his from head to toe was with armor. He had a little opening with his eye that he was looking out from. So Zubayr, in his skill, he took his spear and he aimed it right at that opening in his armor, and he threw it and he hit him right in the eye and killed him. He was so skillful with that spear. So he went back and he grabbed his spear and then he broke it and took it out. It was very hard to remove it. And he came back and he told the Prophet ﷺ what had happened. The Prophet ﷺ was so impressed with that spear, he said, can I have it? And he kept it. He took it and he kept it with him for the rest of his life. He used to use that, again, when he would go and answer the call of nature. He would use that spear as a curtain so people would not look at him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he had the best adab when answering the call of nature. He had so much shyness and nobility, he would go far away. It's narrated that when he had to use the bathroom, he wouldn't do it right on the side of the road, but he would go far away from the eyes of the people so that nobody would look at him or nobody would see him. And he did that also because it is said in some narrations that if anybody saw him doing that, they would lose their sight. They would become blind. And even Aisha, she says that she used to have showers with the Prophet ﷺ. They were husband and wife. But she says, I never looked at him and he never looked at me. They had this noble akhlaq where they didn't look at each other, or he himself, he was so noble that he wouldn't be seen by other people when using the restroom or even by his own wife. The Prophet ﷺ also, when he used the restroom, there's another narration, one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, that once he was using the restroom, or he was using the bathroom in a field, and there was nothing to cover him. So he saw two trees and he commanded them, come here and come together and cover me. And the trees, they came up from their roots and they came and they covered up the Prophet ﷺ. One of the miracles of the Nabuwa of the Prophet ﷺ, the trees that literally came up and covered him. When he finished, he told them, go back to their places, and they went back. This is also narrated in another hadith about Rukana. You might have heard of Rukana, another one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ. Rukana, does anybody know who Rukana was? What was he famous for? He used to be a strong wrestler. He was a mushrik, and he was very, very strong. And he said, my whole life, nobody has ever thrown me on my side. And so the Prophet ﷺ, once he was passing by to Mecca, and he saw Rukana, and he said, oh Rukana, isn't it time for you to become Muslim? And Rukana says, why don't you wrestle me? And I'll give you a sheep if you can defeat me. So the Prophet ﷺ, he wrestled Rukana, and he threw Rukana on the ground. Rukana, he said, he was amazed. He said, I've never been thrown on the ground before. He said, wrestle me again, maybe it was just by chance. I'll give you another sheep. So the Prophet ﷺ wrestled him, threw him on the ground a second time. He said, this is unbelievable, do it again and give you another sheep. He wrestled him again, the Prophet ﷺ threw Rukana on the ground a third time. Three sheep. And so Rukana, he was amazed. He said, how can you do this? How can you defeat me? So the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not going to embarrass you. Rukana, he said, you took away three of my sheep. My family is going to be very upset. I can tell them that I lost one and the wolf ate the second one, but what am I going to tell them about the third one? So he was trying to look for an excuse. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Rukana, I'm not going to embarrass you twice. I already defeated you in wrestling. You can keep your sheep. But then the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ is at that time, he told Rukana, you see these two trees? And he called them and they came together for the Prophet ﷺ in front of Rukana. And then the trees, he told them to go back, and they went back to their place. And this was the reason Rukana accepted Islam. When he saw the strength of the Prophet ﷺ, who defeated him in wrestling. And of course the Prophet ﷺ had the strength of 40 men. So when he saw that, and he saw the miracle of the trees, he accepted his Islam. So the point here that we learned from the story about Rukana and about the Prophet ﷺ was his adab with using the restroom. That he would go away from the people, he would use the spear to cover himself. And this is something that Muslims should do as well, to cover themselves when they're using the restroom. And the third important point, and this is the one we'll close with inshallah ta'ala, is that the Prophet ﷺ, he had water brought to him. He had Anas bring the water to him. Another hadith, Ibn Abbas, the Prophet ﷺ went and used the bathroom in his house. And Ibn Abbas, he was so smart. As soon as he saw the Prophet ﷺ go, he grabbed some water and he went and put it by the door for the Prophet ﷺ. And when the Prophet ﷺ came out, he was so impressed with Ibn Abbas. He was a young boy. He said, who told you, how did you know I needed this water? He said, I knew that you would need to wash up after using the restroom. And the Prophet ﷺ made special du'as for Ibn Abbas to give him fiqh. Because he made this connection that using the restroom, it has to be done with water. So the fuqaha, they say, one, that the best thing to use to clean from using the restroom is water. That's the asl, that's the basis. And istinja, literally, it means removing the traces of impurity from the area, the private areas, after using the restroom. And the najwa is what is left over after using the restroom, even after using the stones. And we're going to see in the next hadith how the Prophet ﷺ, he praised the people of Quba. Actually, Allah, he revealed an ayah about the people of Quba because they use water and stone to clean the area, the private area. So the hadith, it teaches us that the preference of rinsing with water, that water is the best thing to use. That was what the Prophet ﷺ preferred to use, water. And stones are allowed if there is no water, but it's the best is to use both, and especially using the water to remove any traces of impurity. And one final thing that the fuqaha mentioned is that after cleaning that area, there might be a little bit of impurity left, especially if using using the stones or using something dry like paper. There might be a little bit of impurity left. That impurity that is there, it does not nullify the prayer. That impurity that remains there in that area is forgiven. It is forgiven. Even though if that was on another place, like on the hand or on the leg, it would nullify the prayer. But because it is in that place, it is forgiven, it is overlooked by the Islamic law. So that there is no harm. If there remains a little bit of traces, that is forgiven, inshaAllah ta'ala. And in conclusion, So what we learned from this hadith again is the importance of using water to purify ourselves after using the restroom. This is very important, inshallah ta'ala. So these are some of the lessons from these two hadith. One is the dua before going into the restroom to seek refuge from the jinns, the evil jinns that reside there, and making it quick. And number two is to use water and to purify ourselves and to cover ourselves if possible if one is using the restroom in an outdoor area. And we also learned that the Prophet ﷺ, he preferred using water to the dry purification, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge, inshallah, and help us to purify ourselves. Allahumma ja'alna min at-tawwabin wa min al-mutatahhirin, inshallah ta'ala. Is there any questions on this subject or any other subject you're welcome to ask, inshallah ta'ala.
Before we go to the bathroom, there are protecting agents. This is a time where we go to the bathroom, they don't go there, so you make this dua because you are more vulnerable at that time because there is no protecting angel.
Oh, yes, the hard question. Do the angels, like for example, the two angels that write down our good deeds and our bad deeds, do they stay outside of the bathroom when we go inside? Allahu A'lam, as far as I know, that the angels, they do accompany a person even at that time. Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. Because if the angels stayed outside, the person could go in there and do sins and the angels would not write them down. So, I don't know. Have you read a tafsir to that meaning? Yeah, Allahu A'lam, I know that the scholars have mentioned that the writing angels, they do accompany a person wherever they are. You know, there's not a trick somebody can use. Say, I'll go in the bathroom and then do a lot of bad deeds. The angels are outside, they're not going to know. No, they know that as well, inshallah. That is a good point though, to make this dua. Yes, that's true. Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair for the tariq, inshallah. Any other questions that he has? Yes, Brother Salim.
How much nabawis in the public restroom side now, as no one in the restroom?
Yes. What we learned from today's hadith is that water is better, and we'll see in other hadith that even combining the dry and the wet is better. If there's not water, then the Prophet ﷺ, on some occasions, he only used the stones, the istijmar, and that's also permissible. But it's not the preferable means. Any other questions? May Allah bless all of you, inshallah ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allah khairan. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa zidna ilma. Allahumma ja'alna min at-tawwabin wa ja'alna min al-mutatahhirin. Allahumma ja'alna mimma yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khairan.